一无所有了。
没有。没有。
To be famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
What happened there?
I don't know. Celebrities. I'm not sure, but I'm Bobby Finger.
You said it fine the first time, too.
You're Lindsay Weber.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns. And that's it at 619 Who Them.
You know how like before a big game... There'll be like a huddle.
No, I don't know before
and
a big game.
You know how like before a big game, let me fucking finish. There's like a huddle and like the coach or the team captain will be like, okay, let's get like psyched up. I'm going to like say a prayer or like say a poem or like we're going to chant something. Bobby just did the opposite of that, which was he told like a really long story that like that I assume was going to have like this big ending to like get me hyped up for this episode. And then it just ended with Bobby in a hallway and he had an encounter with someone who didn't say anything at all.
It was an anticlimactic story, but like I'm shook by this weird interaction
like,
I had with my neighbor's grandson.
I thought it was like, oh, this guy's going to like say something. Like, what is it that he's going to say? And then it turns out he didn't say anything at all. I just wanted to say that was the opposite
I was embarrassed. I was dressed insanely.
Sure, but...
It was late. I was taking out cat poop. Like, I literally looked like a freak.
Right,
it was embarrassing.
Sure. Yes. Sometime. Right. Okay. Yeah.
But you are right. That is not the sort of story you tell someone else because it doesn't translate.
I'm just saying, like, I went downstairs to get delivery yesterday wearing only a drug rug, and I forgot that I wasn't wearing bottoms. So sometimes you...
Okay, that's a funny story.
I mean, the drug rug
that's
is
a funny
long.
Story.
But when I reached the bottom of the stairs, I was like, do I go back upstairs to put on a pair of shorts because I'm just wearing underwear under this drug rug? Or do I just get my delivery because this guy's just waiting here and it's cold?
If the drug rug is long enough, I
barely
think
barely long
fine.
Enough.
Also, but long
It
enough.
Wasn't like he saw my butt. But he definitely was like, this girl's wearing a drug rug and no pants, which was accurate because I was wearing a drug rug and no pants.
Wait, what'd you get?
Like soups. I like got a bunch of soups to freeze because I was like in the mood for that. Oh. And also there's this really good place near me that makes good soups.
Ooh, good soups. It's soup season,
It's soup
baby.
Season. I wanted soup, so I got soup to eat that night. But I also was like, oh, you should like stock up on the soup. Put it in the freezer for future times.
I made a really good soup this week. I told you about it, didn't I?
You did. You love that soup.
How are you this week? It's Friday. What are you doing this weekend?
Who knows? Honestly. Who knows? Oh, we were supposed to go to SNL, but I got the date changed. Because, no, this is actually...
This
is a funny story.
The date changed.
A friend of the pod and an angel who works at SNL, who I don't... Do I? Should I? Whatever. Offered me and Bobby tickets to a random SNL back in the day, months ago. She was like, you guys should come. I've never been. I don't think you've ever been.
Oh, I've never been.
It's kind of like one of those New Yorker things that you like should do, right? I don't know.
It's not that it's hard. It's that it tends to be random. Like, even if you have a connection, it's like you kind of got to go whenever you get the tickets.
Right. But it's just like funny. So months ago, maybe like last year even. It was definitely last year. It's January.
It was definitely
last year. February.
Yeah. I feel like she made the offer in maybe like September.
Right. So you're like, okay,
August.
We'll take these tickets for February 2nd. No matter who the host or musical guest is, it'll be fun. That was like the jinxing property of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been more jinxed. So the date's coming up and I'm actually see it on my calendar and I'm like, oh, I wonder who like.
I have no problem with the tickets you turned down.
Oh.
I think it's hilarious, but continue.
Okay. Well, sorry. I changed the. I have a problem. So it's revealed that February 8th is Justin Bieber and who was the week after? It was Justin Bieber and
RuPaul.
I'm like, amazing. I hope somebody is as good the week before for the dates that we have February 2nd. Turns out February 2nd, the host is football player J.J. Watt and country star Luke Combs. What's so funny is just like out of all the dates in the whole world, me thinking, you know, anyone who would be hosting SNL, I'll be fine with watching. They're pretty famous, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get the sportsman and a country singer. Not even a country singer I particularly like.
No, I don't like him.
So like out of, I don't, and it's almost like Lorne Michaels, like new. He looked at, he saw that we were coming, and he was like, oh, I'm going to give them a show.
I'm going to give them this one. Like, fiddling through, like, his desk, and it finds a Lucy ticket to right. this show of all the shows.
Literally. The only worst guest host would be, like, Jesse Tyler Ferguson and, like, Lil Xan, you know?
Yes, with special musical guest Lil Xan.
or Trump, essentially. I cannot think of a worse combo for me and Bobby in terms of musical guest Trump.
Host Trump, musical guest Jesse Tyler Ferguson. That's my hell.
So what I'm saying is I got our date changed to be sometime in March just because, whatever, I just asked and it was fine. The point is that it will definitely be Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Lil Xan.
It's going to be worse than what we turned down.
No, it'll be so funny when we find out it's worse than the one that we turned down.
The AV Club's headline for this pair of SNL announcements was RuPaul and a very large football man, J.J. Watt, to host SNL next month. That's it. Can you name the team that he plays for?
Can I name the team? I couldn't name the sport until I looked it up.
Even the team is a who. The Texans? Who? I thought the only football in Texas was the Cowboys. I guess I knew the Texans existed.
Not to be whatever, but usually when there's like a football or sports person on SNL, I know who they are. This is honestly kind of like shocking. What did this guy do?
They would have said like Tim Tebow or something, you know?
Tim Tebow.
Well, now he's top of mind because what's her name? I'm still thinking about Demi Lee Nell Peters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Tom Brady, like what other sports people? Like Olympian type people with like, is this guy, what's his deal? Is he
known for being funny?
Is he funny?
Like if you are an ESPN head, are you like, oh, J.J. Watt, like, yeah, he's a fucking funny bro.
He's
like
so
what?
Funny.
He's a funny bro. Is his thing being funny?
I guess we'll never know because we're not going to the show and I'm not watching it on TV. See you in March.
Oh, he does funny commercials.
I don't give a real.
There's a YouTube. Okay. There's a YouTube video called J.J. Watt. Wait, it's called J.J. Watt's funniest commercial compilation. So oh, he did ads. He did ads for HEB.
What's that?
It's regional. It's the best grocery store chain in the world.
Sounds like human growth hormone. What is it?
H-E-B. Yeah.
Okay.
It's named after someone whose last
name. Sorry, H-E-B, I always read
the grocery store.
I read Howard, it as Heb.
I believe his name is Howard Edward Butt.
I read that as Heb. I always read that as Heb.
H-E-B, which is like number one grocery store chain in Texas, is named after
a guy whose last name is Butt.
Which is really funny.
It is funny. They should have kept it at that. They should have just called it Howard E. Butts.
This is a terrible... No, it's singular butt. Just one butt. B-U-T-T.
His butt.
So...
No, it's Butts. I meant that possessive, but sure.
Oh,
yes,
yeah. Oh, Butts. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I used to work at HEB, actually.
Oh, did you?
I did. Let's start with comments. That's how we start the show because I can't keep thinking about this.
Wait, I just want to say, before we finish, we are very grateful for the SNL tickets.
Of course
and
we are.
I honestly can't wait. Okay, and I didn't want that to come off to anyone or
JJ
the
whoever.
I know.
And Luke Combs.
But I'm a baby and I was like, can we do a different one? Because I won't let Lorne Michaels fuck me. Okay? I won't. Sorry.
Hi, this is Molly, longtime listener, I think second time caller. I had to pause you when you started talking about Roman Abramovich because this is my field of expertise. I'm a Russian studies scholar. And there are several things about him. The first thing I want to say is that he definitely, of all the Russian oligarchs, despite his Wikipedia, is one of the best, known for being nice, known for not being, you know, terrorizing the little people as much as the other ones did in the fall of the Soviet Union. The second thing I want to say about his ex-wife and the magazine and the museum she started, Garage is not just some small artsy magazine and some small arts museum. It's one of the biggest museums in all of Russia in terms of its influence. It would be like saying that she started MoMA or LACMA or the Met with how important Garage is to Russians, especially young Russians. And my third fact about Roman Abramovich is that I was once at a house party in New Orleans and the mother that owned the house said that Roman Abramovich had once been walking down their street and really liked their architecture and she'd invited him in for coffee and that he visits them every year during Jazz Fest. So again, of all the Russian oligarchs, Roman Abramovich is definitely one of the best. He probably didn't kill anyone. And he may have said that to Boris Yeltsin about Putin, but Putin was picked for very different reasons, mainly because Boris Yeltsin was a raging alcoholic and Putin was very quiet. And they thought he would not be much fuss. They turned out to be wrong. Anyway, good form, bella form.
I like that our bar for billionaires is he didn't kill anyone, probably.
He probably didn't kill anyone.
Probably.
I mean, well, we needed a little bit of that context just because I think we're like, oh, Garage Magazine bought by Vice. But like the Garage Museum that it's connected to is a very important modern museum.
It's a huge deal. Good to know. Next Abramovich story.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. I just paused the podcast to call in because Roman Abramovich, I actually lived in Rio and dated a guy who worked on his yacht, Le Grand Bleu, and his whole job was to source the Chelsea Soccer Club game no matter where they were at. He eventually got fired because they were in some Baltic Sea and he was on top of the yacht with some antenna and couldn't get the soccer game on, and that was the end of his career. But I was very excited to hear about that. Crunch, crunch.
Rich people, maybe.
Billionaires pay their staff. They have staffers for like tiny jobs.
Love that.
And they typically pay them well. Like it's like, oh, you'll be making six figures to be the dog walker. Oh, you'll be making six figures to be the person who does this thing on the yacht.
Probably to be the antenna man.
Probably really well. They typically pay these people a lot of money. Number one, these people have to like sign a million NDAs, you know? Like they can't talk about what goes on in these billionaires' lives, so they pay them a lot so that they remain like reliable and trustworthy, I guess.
Not sure this guy signed an NDA. His ex-girlfriend's calling into the podcast. Tell us the story about it. Just saying.
Hey, Who Weekly. I had to call in because of you guys talking about Stavros Niarchos, when recently it was just announced, or not announced, but it came to my attention because his brother, Theo Niarchos, is dating Camille Rowe, the Victoria's Secret model, who is Harry Styles' ex-girlfriend. And Harry Styles writes about them in his new song, Cherry, in which he says, like, does he take you to his father's galleries, like art galleries? So I just had to give you another layer to this puzzle that the family is just full of who girlfriends and who drama. So thanks. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Love that. Of course, Harry Styles is like a related somewhat to this whole mess. And also that obviously Stavros's brother is out here doing the same impressive celebrity work as him.
This knows no gender boundaries. Also, that was Camilla Rowe is the name of the ex, by the way.
Yeah, Camilla Rowe. She was the main focus of the album, or like when people were talking about Harry Styles' new album, like, who's it about?
It's
like
it's Camilla
mostly
Rowe.
About her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's now dating the other Niarchos brother.
Yeah. Okay, we are done with the Roman calls. I'm glad so many people called about them, about him, them, everyone. When that many people call about someone, then it just seems like we got to address it.
I mean, we literally did the segment twice because we missed so much because the story was so big and because there were so many different leads in and leads out. So it just shows that even us recording it twice, there's still more out there about this person who clearly, you know, has a lot going on.
Next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. So I had to just pause the podcast and call in real quick in defense of Paris Hilton's lasagna. Back in the day during season 2 of The Simple Life, there's an episode where they're staying with this family who's really nice to them. So they're like, we're going to make you dinner. And they're obviously very concerned, like, can you guys cook? And Paris is like, the only thing I can cook is lasagna. I'm famous for my lasagna. Everybody loves my lasagna. When worse comes to worse, I make lasagna. And she made lasagna. So this was probably like 2009 or something. So, I mean, Paris's lasagna has been famous for at least a decade. And if Paris were to cook for me, the only thing I would trust her to cook is lasagna. Okay? Hashtag Paris's lasagna. Bye.
So
you have the clip?
I have a clip, but I also think I found it in one episode. And I'm starting to suspect that she did it more than once.
Yeah.
So, because this is from season 3 and the caller is quoting things like so specifically and I can't find quotes that match up to what I found, so I think that she has done it before because these are the only times the lasagna is mentioned in the episode that I watched, but it still works.
Listen, I fully don't doubt that the lasagna thing was not a lot, like, was true. That she, that in this video where she's like, my thing is that I make lasagna, like, that rings true for her in terms of, because everyone has their signature dish thing that, with her, it's just one.
And
it's
not also like I didn't lasagna.
Yeah.
And also lasagna is incredibly easy if you're using just like store-bought sauce and like pre-cooked noodles, you know? Like,
it's more just like, the kind of like party trick of being like, I make a good lasagna, or I make a lasagna, or I make anything at all for her, has legs. Yes. And I'm not surprised that she has been trafficking on this for like some time now.
And especially because she's someone known for being like teeny tiny skinny person.
Right.
The disparity between like there's like an irony in the fact that like an irony that I think Paris herself would find delicious, where it's like, look at me. I love making this hearty, big, carb-centric
Although,
meal.
Although, to be fair, like, that's Paris fun. Has always been small, but she's never been healthy. That's not her brand. Like, being fitness-forward or health-forward is not the Paris Hilton brand at all. Maybe one day, but she's never done exercise publicly.
Yeah. Here are the clips.
Paris is cooking us lasagna because I'm going to give her a massage. That works.
Loves it. I'll teach you how to make lasagna. You could pick up hot chicks and make them lasagna.
How are you going to pick up chicks?
Making them lasagna.
Okay. Paris, this is good.
Thank you.
Very good.
So I put that in because her lasagna is good. From the people.
I believe
from
it.
The mouth.
I fully believe it. You'd have to really fuck up lasagna the way that you traditionally make lasagna to not have it be delicious. I think
The lasagna she makes.
Yeah.
The lasagna she makes in this episode looks very good. Looks better than the one she makes in the YouTube.
I mean, lasagna is, you know, a very forgiving food. You layered these delicious elements, and I think good, quote unquote, good lasagna, where you like make a bechamel and you like do more, that adds to it, sure. But like a simple lasagna with like layers of noodles and cheese is gonna be delicious.
Yeah,
obviously.
Cheese, marinara, pasta.
Get out of here.
What?
Fine. What? What's like, the problem?
I mean, it's the Italian equivalent of Taco Bell, where it's just like they keep finding new ways to combine all of these ingredients, but the ingredients themselves are good, so it's always going to be good.
When I was watching, this is actually embarrassing. I stumbled upon, I mean, my YouTube algorithm is like just so it's horrible. And one of the videos that showed up was like, this girl goes to Olive Garden and eats everything on the menu. And I'm like, sometimes I do venture into those worlds. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she ate, which was a limited, I didn't watch the whole thing. I kind of skipped. Okay, whatever. I'm already embarrassed about this. But the point is that one of the things that she ate that I was like, oh, interesting, was, and this is why Olive Garden is also a genius. They have a lasagna dip. It's genius. How does it work? So it's a dip, but it's like lasagna ingredients. So it's basically just like a marinara ricotta dip with like Parmesan cheese. It's just like a melty cheese, exactly you would think. Everything in lasagna without the pasta. Mm-hmm. And then they had fried pieces of pasta that you would dip into the lasagna mix. Genius.
Oh, that's good.
Deconstructed lasagna dip. Like, all I'm saying is like lasagna.
Before we move on, your YouTube thing made me want to ask you this question. This is a fun little experiment exercise. Go to youtube.com and tell me what your top four, what your number one, what your first four recommended videos are, because I went to see what mine were and I laughed, and so I was like, what are yours? YouTube.com, home, and then it says recommended, and my recommended ones are number
okay,
one.
Okay, so you're gonna read yours?
Yeah, pro chefs blindly taste test snacks. Test Kitchen Talks, Bon Appetit. It's from yesterday. I haven't watched it yet.
It's not that surprising.
Number two, Wired. Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin answer the web's most searched questions. Okay. From 12 months ago. Somehow I haven't seen that. Number three, Miss Americana official trailer. Yikes.
That's good.
Can't even deal with that.
Taylor Swift documentary trailer.
Number four.
You have seen it though, which is even funnier.
Oh, I have seen it. Number four. How are not? Because I watched it on Twitter. It's not showing. Number four, CNN 8 years ago. Betty White, : Bea Arthur was not fond of me.
No, stop. That's so good.
Okay, what are yours?
Mine are, and no, I didn't rig this. Trying 40 of the most popular dishes from the Cheesecake Factory.
That There are more than 40? 40 of. 40 of? You,
these women's videos are insane. Okay, then two, Oprah's 2020 Vision Tour Visionaries Amy Schumer interview, because I watched the one with Gaga, so I'm getting all of the rest of them.
Right, right, right.
Three is, quote, a tiff about a trip, Midsommar director's cut. I was watching bonus scenes from Midsommar. Don't ask.
Okay.
And then my last one is Smash Mouth All-Star Melon cover. I think what this is a cover of All-Star played with a melon.
Played with a melon.
Okay, so this guy, the premise here is the guy emptied out all these melons, turned them into instruments, and is now playing Smash Mouth's All-Star with them. Wait, it's playing as I'm listening to you in the back. Okay, that's my list of videos. So you thought yours was...
How is he playing these melons? Music is amazing.
Next on my list is Nicki Minaj Starships, Paco Bell Canon and D version. I don't even want to click on this.
Okay.
Bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
I was in Florida this past weekend, and guess what was... the talk of the town.
Your mom's Aura frame?
The Aura frame. The Aura frame kept, it was scrolling through every photo. I was like, oh, there's that. Oh, there's that. Oh, there, I'm like, where'd they get that photo? There's always a photo where I'm like, where'd they get that photo? How'd they get that photo?
I don't know where my mom gets the gifts that she sends me. Like when she sends me a text gift, I'm like, where did you find that? And sometimes I look at her Aura frame and I'm like, where did you download this?
No, I'm like, where did you get this photo from? Whose Instagram did you steal this photo off of? You know?
They love to steal from, and they love to just screenshot and not crop. Yeah. So it'll just be like a cropped iPhone
it'll just
photo
be a full
that's
Instagram.
On the Aura frame.
Exactly, with comments and everything. It'll just be on, it'll be zoomed in sometimes, so it's extra blurry. But you know what? That's how easy it is to get the photos on the Aura frame, because my parents can figure out how to do it. Do they do it well? No, but do they do it? Yes.
And the other thing that's great about Aura frames, when you give them to your mom, your mother, a mother in your life, a mother figure, it's a great Mother's Day gift, whoever the mother in your life is. You can connect it to your Aura app. And you can just
photos.
Send them photos. You can, if they approve it, you can just put photos and kind of troll them and have fun and put random photos. I do it to Lindsay sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
You can do it to your mom. My mom gave me access because she likes putting
you gotta
she
be
likes
careful.
My app photos.
You got to be a little careful with that, but you could do it, but you should do it.
You got to be a little bit careful. But Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and they come with unlimited storage because it's all in the cloud. So you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame. Not only will she be grateful, it's not another sweater. She'll love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. So right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code WHO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, WHO Weekly. Medium time. I wanted to call because I know Bobby did not realize that The Rock is a... I guess in The Rock's case, he's a second-generation wrestler. Nepotism very much is a thing in pro wrestling. The Rock's grandfather was also a wrestler, and he's part of one of the more famous wrestling families in pro wrestling. So just wanted to clarify that. That's also very much like a trope in wrestling. If your family
is a wrestler, a lot of times they will have your, a lot of times it's dad. So like they'll come out and do a match with your dad, or your dad will get involved in one of your matches. I think we're on third or fourth generation wrestlers at this point. So people whose families have been in the Federation and in pro wrestling for a very long time. Fun fact, John Cena is not part of a wrestling family. So he's maybe one of the most famous non-nepotism wrestlers in pro wrestling. So just thought I would share. Good form, Bella Thorne.
John Cena. Amazing,
I had no idea.
John Cena, the American Dream. He's a not-nepotism wrestler.
Yeah, makes me like him more.
Me too. I love it.
Not that I don't like The Rock because he is nepotism. I just feel like that was surprising to me.
Well, like, it seems like the nepotism is not just in service of the fame, but it's in service of the narrative of wrestling, so that mm-hmm. it's more conducive to do that. So you can, like, tell a story about the lineage of
yeah.
wrestlers.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Okie dokie. All right. Let's move on to the first question of the week. Wow, it took so long to get here.
Well, we had to watch all our YouTube videos before we could start.
If you have a broken brain already, good luck after this next call.
Okay, so Dua Peep is dating the Hadid boy, I believe. And then Nicola Peltz or whatever her name is, the billion, she's dating Brooklyn Beckham, I believe. But now Brooklyn Beckham's ex-girlfriend is dating Lainey, the guy from Lainey, who's much older than everybody else in the story, and he used to date Dula Peep. So I just, you know, crunch, crunch.
So the caller didn't know any names, but I figured out the names, and it took me forever to figure out the names until I realized I could have just searched Twitter, because Twitter's all over this too. That's what one of those links where it's like, okay, when she says Lainey, she's talking about the band Lainey and the lead guy in Lainey, who is Paul Klein, who is.
Do they have any song I would know off the top of my head? Because I feel like I hear about this guy a lot,
but I
hear about the band a lot, but I don't know a song.
I was trying to figure this out as well, and I went to their Spotify, and I was like, I don't recognize any of this.
Really? There's not one song that you knew? Okay, wow.
Really?
So
if,
cool.
I'm going to leave a little blank spot here in case I find something. So if, in fact, I find out that there is a Lainey song that I recognize, I'll play it here. If not, there will just be 3 seconds of silence. Here we go. Hey y'all, it's Bobby here recording after the fact, and I just wanted to say I didn't recognize any of the Lainey songs, but I did listen to a lot of them, and I officially stand now. Just wanted you to know. Bye. Okay, I hope, I wonder what happened there, because I don't know until I edit it. I don't know.
It's a big reveal.
It's a big reveal. I don't know. I'm not going to know.
It's a big
so,
reveal.
So Dua Lipa is now dating Anwar Hadid. We know this. We've talked about this. Fine. I feel like they're in it for the long haul. Not Lainey. Forever, but I feel like they're going to be together like throughout her next album cycle. Is that fair to say?
I just can't believe she's with him. The whole thing is kind of just shocking to me that he's so, who is he, you know?
I don't know. Anwar Hadid used to date Nicola Peltz. We talk about her all the time.
Nicola Peltz, who we mentioned briefly because we talked about how they were dating, is the very, very, very rich guy's daughter who's a model who was in tabloids nonstop for a while because she was kind of this unnamed, terrible person who kept like yelling at people, right?
Who kept yelling at people?
Yeah. Do you remember this at all? She was always in the tabloids for like yelling at people. There's a really famous Gawker thing about her. Nicola Peltz's House of Horrors. This was written in 2009, 10 years ago. Billionaire Nelson Peltz remains one of the most famous takeover artists in America. In recent years, the corporate raider or activist investor, as he prefers to be known, has battled for control of Wendy's, Heinz, and the candy maker Cadbury Schweppes. Blah, blah, blah. Life inside Peltz's vast real estate in Bedford is just as vicious, we hear, as the staff at the estate is subject to such a dizzying amount of abuse. The Peltzes may be the worst family in America to work for. Peltz's youngest daughter routinely threatens maids that she will have her father fire them if they don't do as she asks. Her last nanny was reportedly hauled out of the house by two beefy bodyguards at the girl's side. She didn't care much for her. Anyways, the point is that this is from, God, 2009. That's not 10 years ago. That's 20 years ago.
Lindsay, try that math again. What try math? That math again. 2009.
2009 was 20 years ago, right? 30? How old? 20 years ago.
11 years ago.
10 years ago. I thought 2009.
She was 14. 2009, 11 years ago. It's 2020.
Try that math again. And then, okay, and then.
30 years
and
then ago. 40 years ago.
And then in 2015, Bella Thorne told Seventeen magazine that she had a mean girl. I have a mean girl. She's in the business and she's very mean. I stay away from her at all costs. I never say hello to her. Siblings are not mean like she is. It's just her. One of the reasons I don't like her is because she's a billionaire since she's been a billionaire since she was little and she's never had to work for anything in her life. And it's literally Nicola Peltz.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that on the
Sorry,
show.
Sorry. I'm just reminding Nicola Peltz. Nicola Peltz. She's kind of like this. Yeah.
Yes. Also, very famously, she dated Justin Bieber for a long time.
Really?
That's what I think about, which is unfair.
Oh.
She did. Yeah. They dated for a while. So, Nicola Peltz.
You can cut so much of that, but yeah.
Dua Lipa is now dating Anwar Hadid, who used to date Nicola Peltz. Nicola Peltz is now dating Brooklyn Beckham, who used to date Hannah Cross.
Who's Hannah?
Hannah Cross is now dating...
Who's Hannah Cross?
Hannah Cross is a model. This is really funny. So I found there's a website, TV or Mind, which sometimes we reference. They do the 10 things occasionally. And their 10 things is so bad, but also it's self-referential and meta in a about way that Hannah I've never Cross? Seen before. So
yeah,
about Hannah Cross. So of the here are some of the 10 things. 7 is Hannah has been a model for a little while now. 6, despite what people might think, her real fame seems to have started when she hooked up with Brooklyn, as in Beckham. 5, she's in her 20s at this time, okay? 2, so you're reading this and you're like, this is the worst 10 things ever. 2, articles stating everything you need to know about Hannah end up being about her relationship to Brooklyn, which we have now confirmed, which you just confirmed
which
in the previous
bullet.
Which
is why I'm reading this article right now.
Wait for 1. This is the most iconic 1 thing you need to know about a celebrity I've ever seen written out. 1. Apart from blurbs here and there about her life, there's not a lot about her that's easy to find on the internet. Like, literally, we don't know.
The person writing this is just, like, dropping hints. They're, like, giving up. Like, they're just...
Turning your lack of research or the impossibility to find more into a bullet point is amazing.
The person who wrote this knew that you were reading it and being like, this sucks. And then the first one was like, it's actually really difficult to find things about this person on the internet. How dare you?
It's really funny. So anyway, so this caller is confused.
God, were we ever so young? Remember when he was dating Chloe Grace Moretz? Was that was like 2 minutes ago?
Think about it. Yeah, dating. Air quotes. My hands that are making the air quotes are just grew eight sizes and started hovering over me. Yeah. Dating. Okay, here's a really good tweet that was from Saint K Laurent on Twitter. Paul Klein dated bullet point Dua Lipa, Nicola Peltz, Hannah Cross. Brooklyn Beckham dated Hannah Cross, Nicola Peltz. Anwar Hadid dated Nicola Peltz, Dua Lipa. If my calculations are correct, Dua Lipa is going to be Posh Spice's daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
This is just a very incestuous, strange
pairing
collection
has
of
to
people.
Be by the math, if you check the math, is going to be Dua Lipa and Brooklyn Beckham.
Or Dua Lipa and Nicola Peltz.
Or Dua Lipa. Yeah, maybe. All right, fine. Great. Amazing.
Why not? Let's mix it all around. I put that in here. It just reminds me of Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. A Gen Z Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
It's like we got to get t-shirts that are like Dua and Anwar and Nicola and Brooklyn and Hannah and Paul and Lainey. Not Paul, Lainey.
Lainey.
Or is it Lanny?
But Paul Klein is in the band
Lanny.
He is
Lanny, but he's Lainey, practically Lanny. Lanny.
But Paul Klein is the one that she was talking about. The woman, the caller, I believe, may have been intoxicated.
It's definitely
in some way.
Not fun or to very call him tired. Lanny. We have to call him Paul Klein. If his name is Paul Klein, he's Paul Klein.
And also, he is considerably older, or not even considerably older. He's just older than everyone else in this group. So people are like, it's weird that he's older, but he's 32.
He's like in this love quadrahedron with these 20-year-olds.
Love quadrahedron. What is the other tweet that I put in here?
You tell me.
Oh, Paul Klein dated Dua Lipa, who is now dating Anwar Hadid, whose ex Nicola Peltz dated Paul too, but they broke up eventually. Crazy enough? Nah, Paul is now dating Hannah Cross, who low-key looks like Dua, whose ex is Brooklyn Beckham, who is now dating Nicola, and I'm still single.
Okay, wow. I love that. Put a meme ending on there, and you truly have a winner.
That's a really good tweet. That's a really good tweet. Okay, so that's what's going on.
Yeah. Who tweeted that? Give them credit.
Oh, yeah, give them credit. Alfina, who is at Miletus on Twitter, M-A-L-E-E-D-U-S. You're
amazing.
Funny. Next call. Anyway, keep paying attention to these people because I want to see where this, like, how tightly woven this web starts getting.
Yeah.
Ugh, I love it. They should all move in together. Reality show. Great.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hey, Who Weekly, long time, second time caller. I'm just calling because I saw an Instagram post by Leighton Meester in my Explore feed. And it's her with like a little plastic bottle of milk and like a very sad looking sandwich. And the caption is, I'm proud to once again partner with at Shamrock Farms Milk and at Subway for the second year to support my friends at Feeding America on National Milk Day. You know, some more text, but I guess yeah, I'm just a little confused with the sponsorship. Is this like milk that they sell at Subway? Why is she doing a paid partnership with Subway? Basically just like looking through her Instagram feed, it doesn't seem like she's great at social media. She doesn't have the at Leighton Meester handle. It's at me Leighton. And when I Googled Leighton Meester Instagram, her Twitter came up, and then the second result was like a fan account for like Blair and Chuck on Instagram, and her Instagram was nowhere to be found, so I had to go back to the Explore page and then type that in. So yeah, I guess I'm like looking for you guys to shed a little more light on her history with Song Khan and just like generally being bad at social. So yeah, crunch crunch.
What can I say about Leighton Meester?
I love her.
True, her Instagram's incredibly boring, but I like her so much.
I like her so much.
I'm constantly rooting for Leighton Meester.
It rings that she's not into social media, right? She's in a famously private, although she's in a private relationship marriage.
That's also iconic.
That's iconic, like, and that every millennial is so horny for information about, you know?
Yes. But they're like, but she's like, I'm a mom. I'm private. Like, blah, 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 blah. Right. And also, I think deep down, they're both incredibly boring, which is also very appealing.
Right. Remember her music career? I loved her music.
She was good. She was country
bangers, yeah. And she had a beautiful voice. The point is that this spawn, like, I think appears to be bad, but is actually good because it's a charity. It's a charity spawn.
It is a good thing that she is doing. She's doing this charity that is all about, like, she does a couple of things with the charity Feeding America. This is just one of them. So, like, this makes it seem like the only thing she does for Feeding America is go to Subway and, like, pose with a thing of milk and a disgusting sandwich. But she actually is very invested in Feeding America and is, like, on the board or something.
My guess that she was invested with them before and then they came to her with this Subway thing. They're like, Subway wants to do this thing. Can you, like, be the celebrity? Like,
absolutely.
Right.
Because she's now done this twice. She did this last February and got a full photo shoot of her in a turtleneck, sort of, like, styled but quickly, not, you know, it wasn't a full,
like a light glam a nice turtleneck.
It wasn't a full appointment.
They took a few photos of her like holding a milk in front of a container, like a, you
this
know,
was
the,
not
the
a
milk.
This was not a stylist, this was not a day rate, this was an hourly rate, right. Let's be honest,
the guy and did hair so, and makeup, you know, he did both.
Yeah, he did everything. And she went to a Subway, which they closed for her because no one else
clearly
is in this Subway.
And there's also no cookies in the fresh cookie container. You can tell they're not open.
I love that Lindsay noticed. She was like, you know, no one's in that. It is this close because there are no cookies in the fresh cookie, which is such a good thing to point out.
I also just think, so she got her photo shoot and she's used these photos a lot, like different photos of her. It even got into like OK Magazine. The caption is XOXO Hoagie Girl. But like, that's funny. But then they wrote out the information about the charity, so it's nice.
And so the charity, the reason they have this association with Subway is because the charity that she works for, Feeding America, has a deal where every kid's meal that you buy, that you also buy a milk with. So like, not a kid's meal with the soda, not a kid's meal with the water, but a kid's meal with the milk.
Yeah.
Subway donates $1 to Feeding America,
right.
Which is a charity that's all about like helping to solve the problem of food insecurity around the country. Great, amazing charity, iconic, but Leighton looks so underwhelmed by the whole
thing.
Can
I just say, though,
who can really blame her? You have to go take photos in a Subway?
So there's the photo shoot where she's like slightly glam and like drinking milk. Then there's this other photo, which is honestly the funnier one, because imagine if you were like high up at Subway and you see this photo of like a celebrity at Subway. You would be so mad. Like, you would be like,
The one that she just posted.
Yeah, it's just like there's no glam. Not that she looks bad, but the right. sandwich looks terrible. So it's like
right.
no glam. She's sitting here. She's got her milk and she's got like the saddest looking Subway sandwich I've ever seen in my whole life sitting there. And
it's not even a 6-inch. It's like a 4-inch. It's like an impossible Subway size. I've never seen this.
Right. But you know, like she's not touching that sandwich. Like no one's touching that sandwich. That sandwich has never been touched.
So the I mean, point the sandwich artist touched it.
So the point is that what I think is so funny about this is like, imagine like higher up is like, we paid for Leighton to get semi-glam and she's not using the photos with the, she's using this photo of herself at a.
Well, the ones from last February are with a professional photographer.
Yes.
And
yes.
they were distributed to anyone who wanted them. Clearly. Which, honestly, the list isn't very long.
OK Magazine wanted them, okay.
But this one, the one that the caller was like, it's in my Explore feed, is just like a camera phone photo.
Yeah.
And she didn't even pay the hourly rate. It literally looks like she just woke out of bed. And that Subway is definitely open. Like,
oh,
she didn't get
there.
Special privileges. She did not get special hours at the Subway. Oh, yeah. It's a tight crop because, you know, there are people all around eating their Subway.
Right, like Adam Brody definitely took the picture of Leighton at Subway. Pop in. Let's take this photo. Do you want to put on, any makeup or do your hair? I absolutely do not. Just get me a sandwich and a milk. Let's make it relatable. Let's
who
make
goes
it real.
Who goes to Subway in full glam? I don't think. When I want my $5 foot long, I don't put anything on.
Anyone goes to Subway in full glam. Going to Subway in full glam is not.
It's the wrong move.
They don't let you in. They're like, no, not here, honey. No. You want some milk?
That's the wrong move. Subway was always... There was always some weird shame associated
like
with Subway.
Yeah.
Like when I worked...
Nothing smells weirder than Subway bread. Sorry. Wherever that bread's from, I don't know. I don't think that's bread. It's not bread.
I have been in a Subway multiple times when someone is trying to buy the bread and take it home alone.
No.
And they'll be like, can I just buy the bread? And then the Subway people are like, sorry, no, it's against company policy. You have to buy a sandwich.
People will be like,
I just want the bread. And they won't take it. They won't do it.
That's because the bread is made from something that's not human. And I think they're like, they know that and they want to go investigate what's in the bread so they can replicate it and create new life or whatever. Because it's...
No, these are just people who are very passionate about the bread, which I understand.
Right, they want
to... But I've seen it twice because it must happen all the time. It must be a major point of the training process where you're like, here's how to respond to unruly customers who just want the bread.
All I'm saying is that bread, something's wrong with that bread.
Hi. I'm calling because what the fuck is this shit with Pamela Anderson? I got a headline. I got a push notification. Pamela Anderson secretly marries movie mogul John Peters in Malibu ceremony. Who cares? But... I don't even know who John Peters is, but I'm concerned about their statements that they made about it. He said, there are beautiful girls everywhere. I could have my pick. But for 35 years, I've only wanted Pamela. She makes me wild in a good way. She inspires me. I protect her and treat her the way she deserves to be treated. Huh? What? And he said, she's an artist. She has never seen her full potential as an artist. She has yet to shine in a real way. So is he about to produce a project for her or some shit? Try to make her prestige? And then her statement is in the form of a poem. John is the original bad boy of Hollywood. No one compares. I love him deeply like family. His life used to scare me. So much for a girl like me. Now I've seen more of life and realize he's been there all along. Never failed me. I'm ready now, and he's ready too. We understand and respect each other. We love each other without conditions. I'm a lucky woman. Proof God has a plan. What is going on? Why is she releasing a busted up poem? Who is John Peters? Pamela Anderson, I think it still has them name recognition, but is very, very hooey. Help me. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne. What do we think about this?
Did he just read the whole poem?
He read the entire poem.
I zoned out. I mean, thank you so much. Now we don't have to read that poem. I also was surprised at this. I mean...
Yes,
I guess
too.
Not... What surprise? Like, was I as surprised as when...
She started dating
Jeffree
Julian
Star
Assange.
Broke up with his boyfriend. I guess I wasn't as surprised as that. I didn't gasp mm-hmm. as I did when that happened. No, I wasn't like, oh, it wasn't Pamela Anderson dating Julian Assange. I mean, he's literally locked up. So they weren't like, I remember there being a lot of headlines about he's literally
locked up.
Well, like, she's really cautious. She's really into his cause, right? She's really like advocating for him. But I don't think that they were ever like really romantically involved. I always got that sense. Like, because she would always say like, I love him. But I don't think that there was actually a relationship there.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think she wanted attention.
Right. For him. For the cause.
And I think it almost seemed like we're missing something. Like, something about that relationship read to me like something else was supposed to happen that didn't happen. You know?
Right.
Like, maybe he thought his release was inevitable, and then it turned out it absolutely was not. And she was like, oh, fuck this. Like... maybe, you know what I mean?
She ever had any intention of like trying to date Julian Assange, or he had no intention of trying to date her. Like, I just don't think, I think that was all for press almost.
It's so bizarre. Like, I feel it's like so something, bizarre. I don't know what was supposed to happen, but it sort of seems to me like something was supposed to happen that didn't. And so she shut it down. And now apparently he's like dying in wherever he's being held.
Right.
He's extremely ill and
I'm
near
sure
death.
She still cares about his cause. I just... the kind of romantic element of what we were talking about, of what the mm-hmm. press was talking about, I don't think that was ever really there. I think that was just for press. Like, she went on The View, like, at the end of last year and kind of talked about him and, like, fought for him. And she was, like, pretty calm and collected despite being yelled at by Meghan McCain. She was like, he's a cyber terrorist. And she was like, he's not.
He's an interesting guy. I mean, he's obviously ruffled the feathers of some very powerful people, just and powerful people want to keep him quiet.
When you were visiting him, he was allegedly kicked out of the Ecuadorian embassy because he was defecating everywhere and creating messes.
No, well, that's a smear campaign. That's not true.
There was video of things that happened. I don't know.
What would you do if you were locked in a room for 6 years?
Well, I wouldn't be a cyber terrorist, which he is. He hacked information. He leaked classified documents that put our national security at risk, our military, and the lives of spies and diplomats at risk.
Military. How many people have the American government killed innocently, and how many has WikiLeaks killed?
You think the military is putting the government at risk?
The military has put many innocent lives at risk.
Oh, calm down, sir.
But she has lots of different causes. She cared about animals for a long... I mean, she still cares about animals, but she's really into animals. She has, like, a whole foundation. I'm not sure, like, what the deal is with that. That's the last time that she was kind of talked about was this Julian Assange thing. But now it comes out that in a secret kind of...
She's straight up married to this guy now.
She straight up married this guy, John Peters, who turns out to be even more interesting than Pamela Anderson, which is the and real shock.
We talked about him.
We did?
Back in our Star Is Born days because there was all that problem with him being involved in the production. Remember?
No, I don't remember.
Because he was named as a
me.
Producer... He was named as a producer on...
The new one.
On the new one. And people were like, wow, he's a bad man. Like, he assaulted or harassed this woman. And then Bradley Cooper was like... They had to release a statement that was like, he has no involvement there, but he technically has to be a producer because he produced the last one.
Right. So John Peters, this guy who she's married, is like this super, super rich movie guy. And the reason why he's so rich is because in like the 80s, he bought the rights...
Early 90s.
He bought the rights to Superman. And so he had these Superman rights somehow. And he was able to like basically be in the background of making all of these movies, some flops, some success. And through that, he's just made a ton of money. But the other thing about him, how he's connected to A Star Is Born, is he was Barbara Streisand's hairdresser and
turned lover turned husband.
Right. And I don't think they ever got married. I think they were just dated for a long time. Right. So it's very weird because the last long form profile we have of him is from 2017 in The Hollywood Reporter. And the headline is, I am the Trump of Hollywood. The reclusive and outrageous John Peters is still rich, really rich. And the weird subhead is about how he's scared to tell Barbara Streisand that he voted for Trump because she would never talk to him again, which doesn't really mesh up with the Pamela Anderson politics thing. No?
I think it still sort of does.
Really?
Well, first of all, I think that Pamela Anderson's politics are not set in stone and ever changing, and she doesn't really care. Yeah, but
I don't know.
The thing that you didn't mention here is that he has a loaded gun on the table the entire time they're talking.
Sorry, I forgot
the entire
that part
time he's talking
profile.
To the Hollywood Reporter. He literally, and then at one point he says there are two bullets in it, and the reporter's like, okay.
So you wonder why this guy has been like exiled out of Hollywood. It's because he's terrifying. And clearly people don't really want to work with him. He date the kind of cute angle to this, which is not really that cute because of the rest of it. But the cute angle is right. that they dated
in the 90s.
He is, what, 20 years older than her or something? He's significant.
At least, yeah.
Because he's 70-something and she's 50-something right now. Mm-hmm. So maybe 20 or
she's
something.
She's 52. He's 74. Right. Yeah. I can't get over his quote where he's like, I could have my pick, but for 35 years I've only wanted Pamela. Like, I
feel weird that to me is a little romantic because, like, he dated her so long ago and he's just been pining after her
since. It's a little
since.
Romantic. It's definitely a little romantic, but it's also the sort of thing that, like, it's easy to say that once you're married to her now. Like, did he really want her this entire time? Who knows? But that is a romantic sentiment.
Well, she says in her poem that he's been there for her all this time. So I wonder kind of if it's the thing where they've been in touch. Maybe he's, you know, supported her through different types of ups and downs in her life, always in the background, maybe just like harassing her / you know, like paying attention to her, being there for her. And finally she kind of gave in or she reciprocated her feel. She realized that she cared more about this guy than she thought. Again, I'm trying to like, I don't know why I'm trying to make it like romantic, but because like they're both so weird, but that kind of seems like what the situation is, right?
Yeah. And the story gets really interesting about this guy because he owned all the Superman rights when those new Superman started happening and like comic book movies, because for a long time, comic book movies were lame as fuck. Like right. they were flops. They were bad. No one cared. So he probably got those Superman rights. They were probably expensive, but they were at a discount, right? Like a fire sale. And he had produced a couple of hits, so he had little money. But ever since he bought the rights to those Superman movies and they came back in the early 2000s, mid-aughts, and currently, he's been making so much money without doing any work.
He literally made 7.5% of the gross on Superman Returns and Man of Steel. Which made together more than $1 billion.
Yeah. So
he was banned from the set.
He's made over $75 million on these movies where he was banned from the set because no one wanted him there because apparently he's a nightmare.
It's just so funny that these are the only types of movies that would continue to get made no matter what type of toxic person was still attached to it. Like, only superhero hero movies in 2020 could continue to get funded and made even though they have hundreds of hanger-ons from years past, like this guy, who are like somehow bought some sort of piece of the puzzle and still have to legally be included in the process, you know? That's so funny to me. We're so desperate for like this character, you know, that will put up with this guy. They have to put up with this guy. He can't even come to set. So he met Streisand in 73 on the set of the comedy For Pete's Sake. He created her wig. Although he was married to actress Leslie Ann Warren at the time, he and Streisand began an intense relationship. Rude. He quickly became her most trusted confidant, producing her 1974 album Butterfly. So basically this is Barbra Streisand's fault. This guy is rich because he charmed Barbra Streisand.
And Barbra Streisand was so horny for him because he's exactly her type.
Yes.
Look at him physically because he looks like James Brolin.
Yes.
Like that is her type.
Yes.
And his type is rich woman, right? A rich woman he can con.
He says he owes her everything, which he does.
This guy's a sleaze bag through and through, and it's very obvious.
Wait, she says in this profile is hilarious. She looks gorgeous, I said. You look like 20 years old, the legs. But he has not yet admitted that he voted for Trump. Quote, she would not talk to me if she knew, he says. In parentheses, Streisand declined to comment.
Well, remember that cover? I remember that cover, those legs on that cover.
Those legs. Okay.
She looks great, those legs.
Yeah, I'm telling you, those legs. If that's what we come out of this conversation with, that Barbra Streisand has amazing legs, then that's it.
I'm going to play that song, She's Got Legs, right here. What's that, ZZ Top?
I don't know. She's got legs. Does it go like that? It's ZZ Top.
It goes, she's got legs. Wait, listen. Wait, this song.
I don't think I ever heard it. She's She has legs and she knows how to use them.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Barbra
Streisand.
She's got legs. Okay, every song sounds the same from that era. It's perfect.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for listening to Who Weekly. That was another great episode. We loved all your calls. Keep calling at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on Patreon. God, support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly. God, I have to get that.
It's okay. You can leave this in here. Bobby had to go get the door. So support us on Patreon. And I forgot what else. Support us on Patreon and have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
We'll see you
Bye,
on
everyone.
Tuesday.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Let's go to the beach, each, let's go get a wave. They say what they gonna say. Have a drink, clink, found a Bud Light. Bet, like me, it's hard to come by. The Patron, let's go get it down. The sound, yes, I'm in the zone. Is it 2, 3, leave a good tip. I'ma blow all of my money and don't get paid. I'm on the floor, I love to dance. So give me more, till I can't stand. Get on the floor, like it's your last chance. If you want more.
To be famous.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I don't know if you've talked about this before, but I have an important question. Is Shen Yun a who or a them? Oh my gosh, my Uber Eats is here. I'm going to have to call you back. Bye.